Today's words of wisdom, One with the Father, will be presented in Malay and English with subtitles in Arabic, Alasis or Vietnamese, Chinese, Dutch, English, French, German, Hebrew, Hindi, Hungarian, Indonesian, Italian, Japanese, Korean, Mongolian, Persian, Polish, Portuguese, Punjabi, Romanian, Russian, Spanish, Thai, Urdu, and Turkish. Malaysia memang sebuah negara yang indah. Negara ini dikuniai banyak bukit dan gunung yang ditumbuhi hutan tebal. Kawasan pantai yang dipinggiri pokok-pokok palma dengan air laut yang kehijauan dan cahaya matahari yang keemasan serta lagun air tawar. Tarikan utama Malaysia adalah dari pencakar langit yang mencual tinggi. Dapat dilihat rumah papan yang dibina di atas kaki pajang. Budaya majmuk, keajaiban alam semula jadi, bandar raya yang besar dan banyak pulau yang indah permai ialah keistimewaan negara yang indah ini. Penduduk Malaysia kebanyakannya ialah orang Melayu, diikuti oleh orang Cina dan India. Budaya majmuk telah banyak mempengaruhi seni bina dan budaya negara ini, dicerminkan menerusi kaum dan warisan yang pelbagai. Banyak tokoh yang berani dan mulia adalah berasal dari Malaysia. Pada November 2006, Datuk Muhammad bin Ismail telah dianugerahi Hadiah Kedamaian Gusi untuk hal ehwal keagamaan dan kemanusiaan. Dan bekas Perdana Menteri Tun Dr. Mahathir bin Mohamad telah dicalonkan untuk Hadiah Kedamaian Nobel 2007. Disebabkan oleh kegairahan orang yang ingin mendapat makrifat, Mahaguru Ching Hai telah menerima undangan mereka yang ikhlas dan berkunjung ke Malaysia untuk beberapa kali. Sekarang kami menjemput anda untuk mengikuti syarahan berikut yang penuh dengan kebijaksanaan oleh Mahaguru Ching Hai bertajuk Bersatu Dengan Tuhan yang diberikan pada 24 Februari 1992 di Malaysia.
Supreme Master Ching Hai's lectures are not a complete meditation instruction. Please do not try alone. For free of charge guidance, please visit www.godsdirectcontact.org or contact any of our centers near you.
Master, I asked you a little bit about this question this afternoon.
Yes.
About immediate enlightenment.
Yes.
Now, you said at initiation, the disciple receives immediate enlightenment. But still you want him to continue meditating for 2.5 hours a day. Mm. So does it mean this is some kind of temporal enlightenment, or I don't understand this.
Yes, yes. I'm pleased you asked this question. It is like this. It's like you have a child. It's just the child was born, but he was not grown up. So you have to nourish him every day until he grow up. Once you are enlightened, you'll be enlightened. But then you have to know yourself further. You enlighten one day and you know yourself a little bit. But you enlighten today, you know yourself more. You know God more. God is not for you to know in one day.
Master, you could say that any little realization, even about the suffering, the nature of this world, could mean enlightenment.
Everything happening in this world is enlightenment.
Then even the tiniest realization you have about the nature of this world, the suffering and of this world, could be called enlightenment.
That could call understanding, but not enlightenment. Enlightenment implies light, yes. When we look at something and the ephemeral of this world, we know this world is suffering, this world is ephemeral. Yes, we know that. Everybody knows that. Children even know that. So, if you want to use the word enlightenment for that, well, no one will stop you. But enlightenment, in the true meaning, means light. So you got to see light, God light, in order to call yourself truly enlightened. But of course, enlightenment has many levels, yeah? First day different from second day, and first year different from second years. Yes, yes, I know you, why you get this impression. Because some people say you can look in the heart of the flower and you get enlightenment, right? But that is after you know how to go about with getting enlightenment. Then even when you play something, you just got enlightenment. One of my disciples yesterday, American, he said he got a beautiful experience. He went to a different world when he played the drum. That is after he got initiation. Or maybe even without initiation, maybe you happen to see the master, one of the very enlightened master or the real master, even though you don't officially follow him. But he gave you blessing nevertheless. And then suddenly you go home that day, you dream of all kinds of things. Beautiful places, or you get samadhi and bliss and things like that, and you don't know where from. Actually, from the blessing of the enlightened master that you don't even know, you just happen to pass by in the sweet shop, or in a cafe shop, or he might just ask you the road to London. Yeah, and you look into his eyes for one moment or two, and then that's it, you got kind of unofficially initiated. And then you get bliss and also, yeah? And then you might look into the flowers sometime and you see some beautiful words appear within the flowers, or light appear from the flowers. And then you see that is enlightenment from nowhere. One of my disciples from America, after she got initiation, she was so sincere, she practiced so hard, and I told her every minute you can use for meditation when you're walking or when you do anything that not require mental occupation. Yes. Then you can kind of close your eyes and do what I tell you. That call 1 minute, 2 minute meditation is better than nothing. Just like you earn extra £1 or £2 or $1, $2. It's not $100, but it's still money, right? That's how I teach them to use daily idle time to meditate, to add to more strength and power. Okay, it's very easy. You sit on the train and you idle, instead you meditate. You sit in the toilet, instead of idle, you can meditate. Yeah, you sit on the airplane, instead of brooding, you pass your time in meditation in samadhi. It's very convenient for everyone to meditate, okay? So now when she first got initiation, she was very enthusiastic. She came home and she did every time just meditation. Wow, she's very high. She got very high experiences. She saw many different worlds and understand differently. And she was a very uneducated woman. And now you hear her talk, oh, just like one of the saints or bodhisattva preaching. She talked from her own experience. She knows worlds beyond any so-called saints, where saints are stranger, the worlds that she knows. One day when she washed her hair, and you know when women wash their hair, and they do like this, upside down, and she was like this. And she closed her eyes and kind of meditate, yeah. And then she said, oh Master, I saw that light, it came from under. How come light came from hell? she thought above is heaven, under there is hell. She asked me, Master, why light can come from hell? Actually, it's not from hell, it's from her own kingdom of God. Whether you're upside down, inside out. She was so innocent, because she was a very illiterate woman. And all her life, she has about 6 children. She just take care of husband, take care of children, and know nothing else. Don't have no religious background, nothing. Just faith and pure heart. That's why the Bible says, blessed are the pure in the heart, because the kingdom of God is with them. Or except you turn into the child, the innocent, you cannot enter the kingdom of God. The master wants to do, it's be done. But not the way we think in this world, it's in the spirit. The invisible way that the master takes care of people. That's why the Indian people, they respect the gurus very much, the master very much. they just love to see the master, one glance of the master. Sometimes like that. I know one Indian master, when he was alive, he passed away in 1950. When he was alive, he traveled by a train, and one person on his right side on the field just doing farming. And then the master said, look out from the window at that moment. And that person happened to look up, and just like that, 1 second, and then passed by. And then 3 days later, that person died. And he saw that master appear to him and took him up. Before he died, he told everybody around. He said, I saw this master, such and such appearance. He come now, he say he's going to take me up. And then it happened that one of the disciples of that master is beside him and said, oh, and when he hear the description, he say, is that the one like this photo? And say, yes, just one look. Yes, and he got liberation. In Buddhist tradition, we have also many of such stories. For example, the Tichangong Pusa, the Earth Store Bodhisattva. When he was alive, he had the promise that anyone who even hear his name, he'll take care. Yeah? So, the way of the Bodhisattva, of the saints, are limitless. Impossible for us to judge, understand, or to even realize.
Master, you mentioned that after initiation, the minimum time you must devote to meditation is 2.5 hours.
Yes.
Now, I can see why you emphasize meditation. By meditation, you mean there's a time when you connect with God. Now, in one day, there are 24 hours, and we have only 2.5 hours for meditation.
Mm-hmm.
And if we deduct the sleeping hours and the normal time devoted to responsibility, there won't be much time left. And the assumption behind all this is that the more you meditate, the higher level you go, provided you're given the correct, initially correct method. Now, you just mentioned just now that one of your best disciples is able to make use of every available time in the waking hours to devote to meditation. Now, I presume that will be in the Buddhist tradition called mindfulness.
Yes.
Right? Mindfulness of walking or mm-hmm. eating or sleeping and so on. Now, would this mindfulness be somehow related to the Kuan Yin method?
Yes, but they do it in a different way.
Different way.
For example, in the other so-called Zen tradition, they say when you walk, you know you're walking. You pay attention to your walking. When you eat, you pay attention to your eating. When you wash dishes, you pay attention. Yeah, this is okay. Of course, I teach my disciple also this way, because when you drive the car, you should drive. Yeah, when you wash dishes, you should wash, or when you break them. So, but apart from that, there is a spirit which is going on meditating. And whenever you have time, truly devoted to that, to the inner light and to the inner sound. But when you don't have time, then of course you have to devote to your task at hand.
With that attention to the inner light, would that be related to consciousness? I mean, you are conscious of what you are doing. When you say you go to the inner light, you are still fully awake, you are still fully conscious of what you are doing.
Fully conscious.
That means you can meditate all the hours while you are awake, apart from 2.5 hours.
If you could do that, I'm afraid you cannot so concentrate it. And I'm afraid you cannot meditate more than 2.5 hours for your busy schedule. So, of course, the more you meditate, the better. But as a minimum. Yes,
In that case, meaning of meditation would mean sitting down and concentration.
Mm-hmm.
And also, when you are doing your daily work, that can also be called meditation too.
It's different. When you work, you work. Yeah, it's also meditation, but you meditate in many kinds. You can meditate on money, on girls, on boys, all kind of things. You can call that too. But I say meditate on God. Yeah, that's different.
But would that contribute towards your advancement to a higher level? Like always fully concentrated on what you are doing, at the exclusion of everything else?
Yes, there are many kinds of enlightenment, many kinds of concentration, okay? Once you reach mastership, everything you do is meditation. Before that, everything you do is mundane work. At least you cut off the mundane stream and meditate for 2.5 hours. better than always in the mundane stream. Yeah? But the master, of course, even when he eats, he works invisibly. When he sleeps, he don't sleep the way we do. For example, the true master is the one who sit here, drink tea, but can appear thousands of miles away to many different disciples in their call for help, in their accidents, in their trouble time. That is when we say eating, sleeping is also Zen. Yeah, and fully awakened. In that case, you're right. But not before that. But I still meditate. The Buddha still meditate. Yeah? After he reached Buddhahood. How do I know? Whenever you read this Buddhist Bible, it begins something like that. After the Buddha has come out from his meditation samadhi, then he spoke first. Something like that, right? So you know, even after he reached Buddhahood, he meditates. But his meditation is also only additional or resting period or example for the students. Actually, everything he does is in God power, is in God, is in Nirvana. Yes.
Would that mean that there's above, there's beyond our level? We have no way to get that sort of meditation.
You have the way to get that. If I can get that, you can.
No, I'm mentioning about those hours above the 2.5 hours, you know.
Anytime you can meditate. If you wish. Yes. Just that 2.5 hours are the minimum, if you can't even make it. Some people say, I don't have time. But actually, 2.5 hours is the minimum in order for you to know the benefit, to feel the benefit. It's just like you have to eat certain amount of rice or bread before you feel partially eased from hunger pang. Yes. But you can eat less if you want. If you want to go hungry, it's okay.
Yes, you say that to meditate, a master is necessary, right? Now, if you learn from just one master, what happens if the master himself has got limitation? Isn't it better to learn from more master by searching your way through than just one and just accept it?
No. You don't need to accept anything, as long as you're not satisfied.
Mm-hmm.
But most of my disciples, they're satisfied. After initiation, they know whom they're searching for is already here. And what the method they want is already given to them. And they just feel fulfilled. And they don't need to seek other masters. But should they want to seek other masters, I never object.
From what we can see from the, you know, the lives of Jesus Christ and Buddha, you know, the final way, they still have to search for themselves.
Sure. I teach you how to search yourself. I don't teach you that I search for you. That's why I have to teach you, otherwise I do everything for you. Why need you to initiate? Yes, you rely on yourself. But the master is the guide. So in case you stumble, and fall, and something happens to you on the road that you don't know, the unknown road, then the master is there to hold your hand, yes, to help you in time of trouble, to show you where is the better way to go. Yeah?
Master, yes. Isn't it the ideal world if master, instead of having all the disciples going through all the hard work, take them all out, and that would be the end of the problems in the world?
You mean should the master should take everybody up?
Oh,
fine. I agree with that. But since ancient times, no master has ever been able to do that. Not that the master is not able, it's just we are not able to follow master. We slander the Buddha, we harm Mohammed, etc. So stop for a while until someone else dare to come out. Okay? Meanwhile, we regress. All the people who did not meet the master die without master. So they have to come back again and born in somewhere else or in a lower level of life. So the master has to come back, all the masters come back to rescue these. If we let the mastership continue, And everyone, even not to believe, but to let mastership continue, let the teaching continue from one master after another, then soon the whole world will be enlightened. And we become nirvana here, we no need to go anywhere, no need to practice anymore. Okay?
Isn't that to be initiated by a few gurus? Will the biggest guru get angry?
Then he's not a good guru. It is your motive that's important. If you truly search for a master just because you want enlightenment, just because you want to be near God, then any master would encourage you. But of course, after you consider this master is good one, is truly enlightened one, with all the proof from all the disciples who had followed that master for a long time, and from the teaching that you get that is true, as is the real, then you must stick to that master in order to progress. But if you have doubt about that master, and you have proof against that master, then you leave. You have proof that the master is not truly enlightened, that the master doesn't do what he teaches, and that the master doesn't fulfill what he promises. Yeah? And doesn't give you peace of mind, doesn't give you love, increasing with your practice, doesn't give you kind of feeling security, feeling loved and progressed as he has promised you. Then you know, or you feel, and you have the right to see other master. Your purpose is to find God, not to find a master. Any master who doesn't show you God is worth to be discarded. Yeah? So God never get angry with you. A true master, we understand. Should you doubt him, even without proof, and you want to go with another master, he can only pray for you that you get a good one like him or better than him, and that have more affinity with you, that will push you further on the road. Because both are doing the same thing. Giving the disciple support to let him to find God. So why should the guru get angry? He might feel sorry, but not angry. Okay.
Personal question. Do you find your own enlightenment or are you led by a master?
You find your own enlightenment, but you have guidance from master.
What about you, personally?
No exception. I am not born enlightened. Okay? No one is born enlightened. Even though we were enlightened before, or we were in the last life, we still have to begin again. But we might get it faster if we were already enlightened, if we were from higher world, just come down, instead of already running around in the circle of this world so many thousand years. Some come directly from heaven, because they are already enlightened and liberated in many other lifetimes or last life. Now they are willing to come back again and to teach the ignorant people. Yes, like Jesus or Buddha. In that case, they got enlightenment very fast. And other people got it slowlier. Or maybe it's just the same as they do. Depends on their faith, their practice, yeah? And their good store of merit and God grace above all. God grace is important.
So what happens when a person dies? His spirit moves to whatever.
Oh.
Generally speaking, after death.
After death. Generally, people will go to astral world. If they don't have any bad deeds, too bad deeds, then they go to the world called astral world. It is the a good world for the spirit to rest for a while, and then he might incarnate again into this world. A long and short time in between depends on his karma, means the store of his deeds. Yes. Other people who are too burdened with guilt, they punish themselves in so-called hell because they think they deserve it. Therefore, they fall into that kind of world in order to work out their guilt until they finish with it, and then they are also reborn again. And other people who do good deeds, of course their conscience remember it and know that they are good, and then they will think they deserve heaven. Therefore, they go to heaven. Yeah, so we have so-called heaven and hell. There are better worlds in heaven and worse worlds than ours in hell. Hell means a suffering world, suffering level of consciousness where we have to live out our guilty conscience. We punish ourselves. No God do that. Because we know, our inner God knows what is good, what is bad. So when we think we do that, so-called bad things, we have to punish ourselves. Because God is justice. Yeah, we cannot forgive ourselves for doing this so-called wrong thing, or we think wrong thing. So we level it out in the so-called hell. Yeah.
There is a prediction that the world is coming to an end. What is your opinion?
Yes. It's not a question of whether the world coming to an end or not. It is a question of, are we ready should the world come to an end? And it will come to an end tomorrow even, when you die. When you die, the world comes to an end. At least for you. So be prepared. There is a story I heard in India about the wolf and the squirrel. The wolf wanted to eat the squirrel. And the squirrel said, wait, no, you cannot do that. If you eat me, the world will come to an end. Don't eat me. And then the wolf said, why? Who are you? Anyhow, that if I eat you, the world will come to an end. I said, yes, if you eat me, the world will come to an end. For me, for me, the world is ended. We should not worry about the world will come to an end. We should worry about that we come to an end. We will, eventually, and any time. So we must be prepared for that day, the final day of judgment. Each one has his own final day of judgment. Only the virtuous will be raised to life, and the unvirtuous will be left dead. Okay?
Master, you said we punish ourselves.
Yes, we punish ourselves.
But still in this world, we never see when children do something wrong that they punish themselves. It's the mother or the father who punishes the child. Mm-hmm. And also, when we break the traffic laws, we are not going ourselves to the police station and say, mm-hmm. oh, I was speeding. But it's the police who catches us and punishes us.
Yes.
So it feels like there's a higher witness who is witnessing our good and bad karma, and who is giving us reward and punishment according to that. It's hard to think of that we ourselves are providing the reward and the punishment.
Mm-hmm. Of course, the law of this world and the inner law are different. We ourselves are consciousness. And whatever we do in this world is physical. It needs the physical eyes to watch, and it needs the physical hands to catch us, and physical law to govern us, as far as we do things physically. Yes. But there are things that is deeper than physical level. When we hurt people intentionally, when we rob people's things, and we know that we should not, and police did not even catch us, but we ourselves are the witness all the time, 24 hours. We cannot run away from our conscience. Yeah? Therefore, sometimes we commit things in this world. The police cannot catch us, but we always know we have done wrong. And the wrongdoing feeling will continue to follow us. Whatever we do, whatever we think, it creates a kind of energy form and surrounding us and sticking to our psychic body. And that's how we have to bear it after we leave this world of the material existence. Because some crimes are beyond retribution. For example, we kill somebody, okay? And the policemen catch us and bring us into the prison. We serve the prison terms, maybe 10 years, 20 years, or maybe the whole life. But that doesn't erase our conscience, because life has not been restored to that man due to our prison term at all. We know he is dead. And his children, his wife, and his beloved person well for him, miss him, and suffer. And this hatred, this suffering, create also a kind of energy that directed toward us, and we cannot escape. You know, thought has formed an energy. That's why people can hypnotize. And therefore, the thought, the hatred of the dead person, the hatred of his beloved one, yeah, will continue to harm you, to follow you. And your own conscience will continue to create this kind of repenting energy and make you feel troublesome. Even the prison term cannot erase that. That's how we, as God, as energy, as wisdom and spirit, as power, cannot tolerate the wrongdoing of our mistakes. So we have to kind of find a way to level it out in order to ease our conscience. That's how we fall into this kind of level of consciousness, which is very dark and no light in it, and suffering. That is called hell. Otherwise, hell doesn't exist apart from our own conscience. Apart from the consciousness of the wrongdoing people, there is no hell. It is different from the physical level than in the spiritual level. Psychically, we know what we're doing wrong. Yes? Even though other people don't know. There are many things people don't know. For example, there are many people who are so wicked, they can curse people, and curse them and make them ill and sick. Physically, no proof that the police can catch them. But psychically, mentally, that wicked person know all the time. And we are the best witness of any crime or any virtue that we act out. Yes. That's why I say we punish ourselves and we award ourselves heaven. You can say that is a higher order. Sure. That is our higher self, our higher consciousness, our justice that write out this sentence for us. But this is ourselves, you understand? Ourselves, truly.
I have a different question.
Yeah.
I came to Asia, just to Malaysia, about 7 months ago. Before, I've been basically living in temples in the West.
Mm.
Now, coming to Asia, I am confronted with people coming to the temple and always asking for blessings for their family, for good health, for their business.
They do.
except for enlightenment.
Oh, yeah. That's true.
How do you deal with these things?
Normally, some of them come to me for that. But mostly because they already know when they come to me, they must ask for enlightenment, or else I have nothing to give. I advertise outside my shop, this is selling enlightenment, okay? Maybe you should say that outside, immediate enlightenment, then they come for that. They often come to different temples. This is very habitual action of the people and impression of the people, that normally they come to the temple, they ask the wooden Buddha for blessing. So when they see you sit there and so nice and sweet and don't scold anybody, they think you're also a wooden Buddha and ask you for blessing. And since you can place your hand better than the wooden Buddha, they ask you even more. But outside my shop, it's always, you know, the board outside is only for enlightenment. Therefore, people came prepared for that already. And only people who want enlightenment would come to me. Of course, there are many cases that they ask me for blessing or for curing the sick and all that. But I say, if you're cured, then you're cured. If you're not, then you're not. I am not a doctor. Yes. And I'm not a god of wealth. That I can bestow wealth upon you. Yeah, but not the kind of wealth that they want, that he wanted from him. So I say, I cannot cheat you. I cannot give you richness. You ask me the impossible thing. If you want to be rich, then you give more in charity. Love the poor. Help the sick. Then you'll be rich in the future or the next life. Yeah? If you want health, and give medicine to the patients. Be a doctor. Take care of yourself. Take care of all the patients. If you want your son to pass exam, then tell him to study harder. Yeah. I said, well, I have other things better for you. Immediate enlightenment. How about that? of somebody's leg when it's already cut off 20 years ago during the war. I cannot cheat him. Yeah? And I keep telling him that if you want to be whole again, then practice goodness, practice meditation, and get liberated from your body. Your own self is always whole and beautiful. No need to worry about his physical legs and things like that. I will tell them. You use that opportunity to enlighten them, to give them ideas, give them direction in life, how they should live out their life in order to achieve what they want. Yeah. And if they don't believe you, if they don't want to follow, well, that's it. At least you do your duty as a monk. Yeah. It's troublesome, I know. So how did you deal with them?
I teach them to be grateful for whatever comes in life.
That's good.
And embrace it and embrace everything as God's grace.
Yes, yes. But they can change. They can change their way of life to get more grace. Yeah. Yes.
And if they see everything as God's grace, then everything becomes a source of joy instead of suffering.
Yes, yes. But then if they change their way of life, they can be less suffering. For example, if they smoke heavily and drink a lot, and they expect health, then you don't tell them to take that as God's grace, but tell them that's your own grace. Your own grace. Don't blame anything on the poor God, the innocent and the, you know, very, naive God.
Some of the tragic tolls of alcohol. 2.3 million alcohol-related deaths per year worldwide. Cost of alcohol-related illnesses, $186.4 billion U.S. dollars in the United States. Up to $210 to $665 billion U.S. dollars globally.
Disease. Higher amounts of alcohol increase the cancer risk. Even half a glass of wine daily increases the risk of mouth or throat cancer by 168%. Cancer of the liver, breast, colon, esophagus, rectum. Liver disease. Cardiovascular disease. Metal toxicity. Brain damage. Amnesia and dementia. Brain shrinkage.
Organ failure. Heart, liver, kidneys, stomach, pancreas, eyes.
Birth defects. Children afflicted by anxiety and depression. Mental retardation. Fetal alcohol syndrome, stunted growth, facial deformity, sudden infant death syndrome, miscarriage.
Alcohol-related violence. Child abuse, 50% of cases. Violence toward loved ones, 30% of cases. Violent acts, 40 to 80% of cases. Suicides, 20 to 50% of cases. Plus more.
For more urgent information, please visit www.suprememastertv.com/killers.
Some of the tragic tolls of tobacco. 5.4 million smoking-related deaths per year worldwide. Cost of smoking-related illnesses, $96 billion U.S. dollars in the United States alone. Light and mild cigarettes, just as harmful, causes cancer and diseases in animal companions. Speeds the aging process, toxic residues of third-hand smoke, heart disease, coronary thrombosis, cerebral thrombosis, kidney failure. Cancer. Mouth, liver, breast, and colorectal cancer, lung cancer, esophagus cancer, kidney cancer, bladder cancer. Chronic obstructive pulmonary disease, emphysema, bronchitis. Stroke. Impotence. Additional harms for secondhand smoking. Childhood arteriosclerosis leading to heart attacks and strokes in adulthood. Sudden infant death syndrome. Infertility, miscarriages, and premature deliveries. Childhood asthma, bronchitis, ear infection. Cleft lip or palate. Hyperactivity and aggression in asthmatic boys. Circulatory problems in women. Plus more.
For more urgent information, please visit www.suprememastertv.com/killers.
How do you feel about tonight's environment during the delivery in the hall?
In the hall, it was nice. I feel good.
Feel good.
I feel blessed.
Special feeling?
I just feel joyful and blessed by the people, of the Mary Lason people.
The Christian tradition always believe in the soul, but correct me if I'm mistaken, I think Buddha...
Yes, it's true.
Buddha always say that there's no such thing as a soul. It's just like all the five elements when you die, it's just no more. Now, I myself believe in the soul because I always mention my mind, my body. There is something behind what I say.
Yes.
Everybody say that.
Yes.
My mind, my body.
Did Buddha say there's no soul? You must be mistaken or using different words.
A lot of intellectual guys confronted him. He always bypassed this question of the soul. Just not to get involved into intellectual arguments, I think. Now, from what you have said so far, I think this already implied that the soul is there. When you say the consciousness or the conscience or whatever it is, there's a soul. And karma and all this, that involves the soul. Otherwise, there's no worry about karma. So, exactly, what is
there
the
is a soul or not, right?
I believe it, and all your talks, the implication is that it's a soul.
Yes. What he meant, or probably wanted to do, is to break people's preconceived ideas about soul. Because they just think the soul is like this, like that, and it comes out like this, and it should do that and this thing. They have a form of the soul, you know, which is actually formless, a kind of energy, love, and God-like, yes? And then also the same, he say, no God. Yeah, he also says this thing like that. But because the people conception about God and soul at that time, this is so perverted. So he denied that perverted ideas, that's all. Otherwise, why should he say, there is one thing from which all things come and to which all things return. What is that if it's not God? Okay? Is it Tao or God? People say Tao, people say Brahma, people say God, people say it's Buddha or nature. That's why we have a lot of argument about whether the Buddhism is a higher or the Christianity is better, Buddha is higher than God or God is better than Buddha. All the time. It's trouble for me. Everywhere I go, people ask the same question.
Supreme Master Qinghai's lectures are not a complete meditation instruction. Please do not try alone. For free of charge guidance, please visit www.godsdirectcontact.org or contact any of our centers near you.
Kami berasa gembira dapat bersama Anda dalam episode Kata-Kata Hikmat hari ini. Seterusnya ialah teknologi zaman keemasan. Sejurus selepas berita yang wajar diberi perhatian. Sila teruskan bersama Supreme Master Television. Semoga kebijaksanaan Tuhan sentiasa membimbing anda dalam hidup. It has been a pleasure to have you join us for today's episode of Words of Wisdom. Golden Edge Technology is up next, right after Noteworthy News. Please stay tuned to Supreme Master Television. May the wisdom of heaven guide your every step through life.
For more details, please visit www.suprememastertv.com/WOW.